Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Thank goodness there are all the Purdy's out at the golf tournament on Wednesday, because the golf gods ensured that Kevin's ball went into someone's yard and not into a car.
That we know of.
That's a very good point.
I'm just covering us just in case. We do not know of any incident like that.
All right.
But it could possibly have been, we could have known about it, but maybe we didn't. If you go along the Brady saga.
I would like to point out that Drew, Nate, and I want to make sure our names are not dragged into any potential incidents. All right. Tom Brady. I don't like this report, and I've said it from the beginning, I don't like it. It's 14 weeks on deflated footballs. Think of the world we're in today. 20% of our uranium just went to Russia. We're going to give $50 billion to Iran as part of this deal. Yet the biggest story in the country this week is going to be whether or not Tom Brady gets suspended over deflated footballs that, by the way, averaged out 11.30 on the scale. Now, do you realize what the average, what the bottom of the scale should have been based on weather conditions according to that's written in the Wells report? Do you know what it should be if you start out at 12.5? 11.32. The average for the Patriots balls was 11.30. Really? I'm not here making excuses. I think Brady's handled this thing poorly from start to finish. Brady's big problem to me in all this, where the commissioner, who was in a very tough spot, looked, Roger Goodell's been on the job 9 years. I know we've had Adrian Peterson, we've had Ray McDonald, we've had Hardy, and we've had Ray Rice. This is the single toughest decision he's had to make yet, in my opinion. Because you're talking about a report that defines vague. I went to Johnstown on Saturday night to speak. Great group out there from the Laurel Highlands Club. I could take out any roadmap. I enjoy reading maps very much. I love traveling. I could take out any roadmap, and I can get to Johnstown on that map. I do have a Garmin. What do I need the Garmin for, since I can get to Johnstown with complete ease just looking at a map? Scan it for 30 to 45 seconds. Got it. Let's go. I need the Garmin to get me through the last 2-3 miles where I'm having to use various streets I'm not familiar with to get myself to a location. The Wells report is the equivalent of a map that gets you to a spot but doesn't include the Garmin that gets you to the finish line. Goodell is using a really flimsy, lousy report as his guide. No help. That's an issue. But You have 31 other teams right now looking at Roger Goodell and saying, what are you going to do now? You're going to treat the Patriots like the golden child? You're going to treat Tom Brady like the golden child? And Brady has not handled himself well in this thing. Has he cooperated fully with the investigation? No. If you're going to suspend him, I'd suspend him for 2 games. I wouldn't suspend him, period. I don't think this is a suspendable offense. You know, I mean, do you realize that the Vikings were at home for a game warming footballs with the heater at one point? They got a memo saying, don't ever do that again. Cold day. The Chargers, a couple of years ago, were wiping Stickum on the ball. Got fined $25,000. It's not quite as big a deal as everybody makes it out to be, but because if it were Philip Rivers and not Tom Brady, it would be a $25,000 fine, no suspension, no big deal, move on. Nobody would care. It'd be no story. Fair enough. But because it is Brady, it is the Patriots, it is the team that was involved in Spygate, I think you'll see a commissioner that comes down with a 4-8 game suspension somewhere in that range. By the way, Las Vegas, at minimum, has covered itself. They've already taken the first 2 Patriots games off the board. Now, the bottom line is this. Steeler fans, rest assured, he won't be playing against you. And in the end, that's all you really care about. Jimmy Garoppolo will go out, throw for 400, be the NFL player of the week, and you'll sit back and go, I wish Brady had played.
If that happens, we deserve to lose.
Yeah. Just kidding.
No, I'm serious. If that happens, we deserve to lose.
Yeah, but I was just kidding about him throwing for 400 yards. I think the NFL just needs to cheating can't be tolerated. I understand that. Nobody understands that more than I do. Okay. My goodness, I've worked in an organization for years. Okay, for years. Where there's been a standard, which we all know about. And success with honor here was not a slogan. It's how you go about your business. I always laugh with, you know, we're always trying to find an edge. Always trying to find an edge. Yeah. But at the same time, is this really a tremendously egregious violation? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you think it is. I kind of sit there and go, yeah, okay. It's a finable to the max. It's a max. To me, it's a max fine. It's not a suspendable violation. My goodness, when they put more air in the footballs at halftime, they outscored him 28-0 in the second half. NFL had total control over the footballs in the Super Bowl. The guy's the MVP. And to me, the officials are culpable here because, look, they went about their business and weren't paying attention. And paying attention's the number one part of the job. But there's going to be what Roger Goodell needs to do. If I could give him one slice of advice, it would be this. And this is very difficult. And you know how I feel about such things, Kev. He needs to ignore the noise and do what he thinks is right based on how this fits. I don't, you know, there has to be a point where you don't care what other people think. You have to be the one that makes the decision. And Kevin knows. Right? Kevin knows when it comes to me. I said, yeah, I don't really get it. I mean, what would you do, Kev?
As far as how would I handle this situation if I were Roger Goodell?
Yeah.
I don't think you can find... I don't think you can suspend Tom Brady at this point. I go back to what we were talking about last hour.
He will, though.
I think he will. I don't agree with it. Because I think this is a hard thing to suspend someone for X amount of games when it is... A rule violation, yes. But I go back to what I said last hour. I kind of link this up to what NASCAR does when they have a rules violation of this sort. You know, does letting too much air out of the tire...
But they have too many of them. If you're going to have 43, in the field, you can't suspend 30 of them.
Right. There's a lot of those. I get that. But suspend the people that were involved that had a hand in it. And right now, you can't say that Brady was definitely involved in this. Does it look like he is? Yeah, sure does. Can you suspend him, as you said earlier, based on the fact that he didn't cooperate?
Right. That's a big part. Yeah.
Totally agree with that. Can you come up with a severe monetary penalty? Sure. But I think you also have to make sure that the team gets punishment, too.
But again, the one area we don't know, I mean, I'd like to just sit there. I would have fined Brady $500,000. And then be done with it. But what I don't know is what is the NFLPA maximum fine allowed? Now, for the team, I do know for the team it's $500,000. That is the max.
I think we talked about this last week. The big problem is Roger Goodell has a nightmare on his hands right now. He's got one of the, if not the highest profile player in the NFL on the hook.
I think it's the single most difficult decision of his career.
And at a time in which the NFL has not had a lot of good PR. This can be misinterpreted because a lot of people have talked about it, including you and I, that it didn't really matter. You know, this game was because they didn't block it, because they blocked and tackled and caught the ball better and threw the ball better. That's what it all, and they ran the ball better. That's how they won the game. It wasn't by the deflated football. However, it's a rule. That's like, you know what? That's like the referee going, you know what? You know, I don't think that you really intended to interfere with him, so I'm not going to throw a flag there.
Well, the one thing we don't know is here's what we don't know. We don't know what the number was on those footballs when the game started. We don't know.
No, to me, the biggest issue is that Brady did not cooperate with the investigation.
That's the absolute in the report. The report is, if you want to pick in a report that defines vague, it is the definition. I've only seen one other report I thought was flimsier than this.
I wonder what one that was,
Well, no, there have been a bunch over time where you sit back and you say to yourself, this is the kind of sort of we think probable, likely probable. Those are the hard-hitting words, except when it comes to the part about the lack of cooperation. That's definitive. And I don't know, for example, this is something we don't know. Did the National Football League Players Association advise Brady not to hand over his phone? Would that have set a bad precedent for other players in the league? I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there as a discussion point.
I don't know. I always look at this like if you get pulled over and don't supply your license upon request, you can be fined or punished for it.
But Kevin,
this is the same thing to me.
But Kevin, there's no driver's union.
I know. The union is the big stumbling block for a lot of this. I understand that. But union aside, if somebody, like I said, if you get pulled over and you say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you my license, let me know how that works for you.
Right, I understand that, but this is different. This is an independent investigation, allegedly, all right, with no subpoena power.
I just can't believe it's lingered this long.
Well, I understand, but no subpoena power. And I'll be honest with you, Kev. All right, I think most people in an independent investigation with no subpoena power would say, my lawyer's sitting here, and we're just going to, you know. I think most people would look at them and go, no. You're not going to go through my phone. How would you like to have somebody in an independent investigation go through your phone?
No, I see where you're coming from.
You know, I mean, they have no subpoena power. They have subpoena power, it becomes different. Now, does it look better that he hands it over and fully cooperates? Of course it does. Absolutely it does. Gives a different tone to the entire investigation if he does. But you know what? Somebody comes in on a witch hunt looking at you. Are you going to hand over your phone? Where they can interpret whatever they want, however they wish, with no context? Seriously.
I don't know. I guess it depends on if I feel, like you said, if it's a witch hunt or not. Or if I feel I have anything to hide.
I mean, those 17,000 calls you've made to OTB, I mean, okay, that's good. You might have a slight problem.
With your credit card.
Don't think I haven't noticed.
Problem is, every time I win, you get the money. It's just not right.
I think so. Here's the problem. You don't win that often.
I don't win that often. That's right.
Hey, Dick Girardi on the Preakness, speaking of winning later in the week, we'll have him on Friday. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Jumping
Kevin Shake Rattle and Roll. Come on, Kev.
I think I heard
make it happen. And with a pull muscle, Mr. Herr is now out of Dancing with the Stars.
I'm on the DL.
Made it easy to vote him out. All right.
You talked about this last week when we were at the golf tournament on Wednesday, at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, about the popular golfer, the most popular golfer with young golfers right now, you know,
right,
teenage
Ricky
college.
Fowler.
And then he comes out and wins.
This was after being voted in what, you know how ridiculous I find these polls to be. But among tour professionals, the two most overrated golfers in a recent poll were Ian Poulter and Ricky Fowler. Now, Fowler's 26 years old. He's 26. Out of Oklahoma State. That's why he wears orange usually on Sundays. For Oklahoma State. And he had a really good year last year, but he's only won one tournament in America in his career till yesterday. He won his second, his biggest one. He won the Wells Fargo, I think, 3 years ago. And, of course, he won the Players yesterday, and he's won one tournament in Asia. So you see all this talent, what he can do, you know, but he's a, you know, he's a good-looking kid. He's got the flat bill hat. He's got, you know, well, he won yesterday, and that was a big one. He's coming off a great year last year, and he's always played well in the Ryder Cup.
Wonder if the PGA Tour made him cut his hair, because he had much longer hair than what I saw yesterday.
The PGA Tour doesn't, you know, guys are wearing beards and things like that. I mean, for goodness sakes, Kevin, if they never really regulated John Daly, you think they're really worried about Ricky Fowler?
You couldn't regulate John Daly. That was an impossibility.
Exactly right.
John Daly couldn't regulate John Daly.
But that was a popular one yesterday. You could hear it in the crowd. 17th hole's great, isn't it? The Island Green. Little fandom at golf with that one.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. They'll take care of all your insurance needs. And they'll do it for the right price, too. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Always great to have a Monday sponsored by Purdy Insurance.
Steve, I'd like to get your thought on something that I was really surprised about, and maybe you know a little bit more insight into this, but Ed Ruth is now signed an MMA deal?
Yeah. Well, where is he going to make money?
Well, I mean, I understand, but I know he wants to get to the Olympics in 2016.
I mean, remember Phil Davis. Phil Davis has been in Ultimate Fighting. He's in UFC, I think, right? So, I mean, Phil Davis has done this. Like, when you're a wrestler, what are your avenues?
Well, that's very true.
I mean, what are your avenues? I mean, even, for example, in collegiate women's soccer, they've at least now started in this country a women's professional soccer league. Is it lucrative, well-attended? No, it's not, but at least it's an avenue.
Well,
men's soccer as MLS. There's no outlet for women's ice hockey unless you go overseas. And for a guy like Ed Ruth, look, you got to make some cash somewhere.
Well, I wonder if this deal is that he would not fight until after the Olympics.
Yeah, I think you've got to make. If he thinks it's the best way to make money, you have to be smart about it too. What are his odds of making the Olympics?
I mean, as a freestyle wrestler, I would think he's got a shot at, 86?
As outstanding as David Taylor has been here, let's take him as an example. between Dake and Burroughs, those are two big hurdles just to get there. And usually freestyle wrestling at the Olympic level is actually an older man's sport. When I mean older man, in the 25 to 32, 33 range.
That's very true.
Keeps him active, keeps him in shape, and I don't know.
Well, the last time I saw him in the rankings, I think he was 86 kilo, which would be probably, 189? But anyway, he was actually ranked in the number one slot.
Okay.
That's why I was a little bit surprised to see him go to MMA. Now, as you said, absolutely, you need to make a living somehow or another. But I was surprised that he did that now and signed the deal. But maybe the deal is contingent upon, you know, not fighting until after the Olympics are over.
Yeah, but that's a year and a half.
That's also true. Yeah,
that's a year and a half. I don't. I think if he's going to do this, then he's going to have to get involved in it. It's not easy in a sport where there's no professional league. It's just not. And that's the tough part of this. There's no really... collegiate-style wrestling, there's no place to go. As I mentioned, you can, you know, wrestle freestyle, but at the same time, it's just not...
Actually, right now in the U.S., Ed's at the 86-kilogram weight class. He's number one. Also, Jake Varner from State College and at the 97-kilo is ranked number one.
Well, Varner trains here. That's one of the... There's so many advantages to having Cale Sanderson. One of the great advantages to having Cale Sanderson here... And the facility, the Lorenzo facility is really, really well done here. But Cale attracts guys that want to go to the Olympics to do some of their Olympic training here. Jake Varner is one of them.
Nico Megalutis, by the way, at 57 kilos, 12th.
Okay.
So you've got Dick on the line from Milton?
Yeah, I don't have the screen, Kevin. I can't, just so you know. Hi, Dick.
Steve Jones. Hey, just so you guys, you might be aware of this. This past weekend was the very big weekend for senior nationals in the United States for every level, and including the freestyle. And David Taylor won his weight class. His kill, whatever, it's not weights. It's kill, what you know. And also,
I know he won it, but you know, we're Burroughs and Dake.
And then I don't know, but then Ruth lost out in the. Semifinals. Warner got beat. He got beat by Kyle Snyder from the kid from the freshman from Ohio State. I mean, if you looked him up, you could see. I'm not saying in the computer. Right? I just know who won in each weight class, pretty much. And it was kind of amazing because if you went to the NCAA championships over the last number of years, just about everybody that was everybody for the most part was there. And so it was really good. You saw some really, really, really high-rated kids lose. I mean, that's just the way it is at that level. They're not all going to win. There's only one winner. And then, of course, you have the second, third, and fourth. And just to make Kevin LaValle, who wrestled at Bucknell as All-American, came in the semifinals in his weight class, and he is now coaching again at Bucknell. He came back this weekend, and he's they hired him as a coach over there. And the kids are now training for University Nationals in Akron, which I think is next weekend. But anyhow...
Freestyle wrestling, Olympic level wrestling, is usually an older man's sport.
Exactly. Yeah. If you look at the kids out of the Russians, right. I mean, they're obviously, and the Iranians, these guys are like 30, 31, 29 years old. You don't peak at wrestling to your gut, because it's just a matter of, it's not even a matter of technique anymore. It's a matter of just getting stronger and being better. You know, that's just what a lot of it is. But it was interesting. I mean, obviously, Taylor's very good. Ruth's very good. Lots of guys that wrestled at Penn State were there and also different teams. And it was good. It was a very good competition. And as I say, not everybody wins. There's one winner in each weight class in the freestyle. Of course, they have Greco-Roman, and then they have women's, and they have other things. But, you know, you just were talking about, I thought it was interesting because Ruth came in. Ruth didn't, I mean, he didn't win his weight class. That's the best I can tell you. It happens.
Yeah, okay.
It just happens. So.
Well, it happens all the time. And like I said, for Taylor, Taylor's two huge problems are going to be Dake and Burroughs.
And you were just talking about that.
And especially Burroughs.
Right now, as of April, at the 74 kilo, which is 163, Burroughs is one, Taylor is two, and Dake is four.
Yeah, and that's right. Just U.S. ranking.
Right, that's just in the U.S., correct.
You know, and basically, once you start throwing in the Iranians and the Russians, Iranians are really, I mean, obviously, despite how they are politically and with their weapons, I mean, I'm not going to go there. I'm just saying that they always wrestle very well. They have forever.
So
you know?
You're saying they're really good at hand-to-hand combat? All right.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're, you know, I don't know if they got more than 10 people in their army, but I think I can tell you one thing, the 10 they could put out there are pretty good. I just put it that way.
I understand. Yeah.
And then, you know, in our hemisphere, the Cubans are always very good.
Right.
You know, at certain weight classes, and I'm not at every weight class, but the United States is by far the best of the teams in this side of the continent and this side of the ocean. But obviously, Cuba is very, very good. They have really good kids at a lot of weight classes. You know,
well,
you find some other kids.
What we have in this country is the depth part of it.
We have a lot of depth. Their thing is, thinking about the Olympics, it's a time off, and one injury here, one injury there, the kid's eliminated. He's eliminated himself.
By the way, guy, Jordan Burroughs, guys, checks in at number 3 in the world right now at 74.
Right. Okay.
The only thing I'm going to leave you with this comment. The wrestling level is better than the Pacquiao and Mayweather, whatever the heck that name of that guy, the Mayflower, whatever he was. As far as I'm concerned, you know, that was okay. The horse race was better that day to me. It just was a lot better. It was more competitive, anyhow.
That's an understatement.
Dick,
it was over 2 minutes.
I think I saved people a lot of money because I told them not to buy the fight. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be quite truthful. If the fight had been shown again, I don't even think the guy's fighting would want to see it.
Well, listen, I did see it again, actually. They ran it Saturday night after the Alvarez-Kirkland, or actually before Alvarez-Kirkland on HBO, and I'm like, please make this end.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, just the things I saw of it. But that happens in boxing sometimes, you know. The good old boxers that I remember, my names are all, they don't box anymore. They're all going, so I don't know any of these guys, so to speak.
I mean, Dick, the reason I said no on the fight came down to a couple things. One is, with all due respect to Floyd Mayweather, who technically is an outstanding, outstanding boxer, quick, good use of the jab, tremendous defensive boxer, it's not exciting to watch. He doesn't throw a lot of punches. He fights to make sure he doesn't lose. And that's just not a style I think a lot of people find attractive to watch. That's why I kept referring to it as the possibility of being boxing's first ever no-hitter.
Yeah, it was close.
Well, I'll tell you what, the following week on Saturday night, Canelo Alvarez and James Kirkland was night and day difference. I mean, that was actually a battle. Now, it ended in the third round, but man, I'll tell you what, Alvarez was throwing some big hitters.
Levon Kirkland fought against
Levon Kirkland.
And an old man went out and just took him apart. How embarrassing for the Steelers.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'll let you go anyhow. The wrestling you were talking, I found it interesting. I always find the wrestling parts interesting. And obviously, we'll do okay in the Olympics, or we won't have the best team there. I could go out and win, so I'll tell you that right now. And that means nothing detrimental about our team. It's just that, and as serious as we take it. Some other teams, other countries, sometimes they only have a few sports that they really take seriously. We take a lot of things seriously.
Right.
And, some countries focus on certain things, and that's all they focus on. Whether it be wrestling, or whether it be the bobsled in the Winter Olympics or whatever. But you don't, you know, they might win medals at certain sports, and they don't do as very well at other sports. You know, just like boxing, there'll be countries that come in there, like Japanese or Korea, and some of those some of those Asian countries that are really, really good at boxing, but that you're not going to see them on the basketball court.
And what you see is there's so many sports in this country, it has really spread out the sports talent. You know, so whether it's golf or tennis or lacrosse or baseball or football or basketball, ice hockey, you go on and on and on. The number of sports opportunities in this country thins out the talent pool.
Yeah, I think they make up new sports every week just for something to do. I will comment this about the Olympics in wrestling. There was a good chance that it wasn't even going to happen, and by God, it is going to happen. So thank God that happened, and they didn't eliminate one of the wrestling. You know, to eliminate the wrestling, we talked about this before, would have been stupid. Or you might as well just not even have the Olympics. Call it something else. Don't call it the Olympics and not have wrestling. Or, you know, to me it wasn't because the Greeks didn't do a lot of other things. They did things that were more physical, like this. They didn't play ping pong. In the first Greek Olympics, they didn't do a lot of that stuff. You know, they didn't have gymnastic dancing with, they didn't have all that stuff. So
rhythmic gymnastics.
Yeah, but my point being is they were going to eliminate one of the original sports in the Greek Olympics.
Right.
God, they would
sure.
turn over in there. However, they buried them back then. Anyhow, I'll let you go.
Okay, thanks. You know what an Olympic sport is in Boston? Driving. All right, and that's why 65% are voting, going to vote no.
Why do we need the?
In fact, I think they should have they should many of them commute to Boston for their jobs. This is how I think it'll go. I think that anything west of 495. Which is about 10 miles east of Worcester. Anything west of 495, Worcester, Springfield, Pittsfield, Northampton, Greenfield, so forth. I think they'll vote yes on it because it doesn't affect them. Inside the 495 corridor, Boston, Burlington, Quincy, Lexington, Belmont, Waltham, South Shore, they'll vote no.
What year is this one supposed to be? Is this 2020 or is this 2024?
2024. 20's in Tokyo.
You know what? This might be just in time for Wushu to come in.
Actually, what Tokyo wants to put in, their proposal, they want to bring baseball and softball back.
That's not a surprise to me.
Okay, so I mean, just so you know, that's, you're shocked I knew that. Shocked I followed it.
I just want to see Wushu. This seems interesting to me.
We'll come back with more Wushu talk in a moment, exclusively on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin looking up all the information he can get on Jimmy Garoppolo. As it looks like more and more as this week progresses that the starting quarterback for the Patriots on opening night against the Steelers, led by Ben Roethlisberger, who has been down the suspension road before, will be Jimmy Garoppolo. You'll, of course, be without Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, that's not
quite
better.
Not quite the same impact as Tom Brady.
No. Impactful, but not as bad.
Let's see. Swansea City beat Arsenal today 1-0. NBA playoffs tonight. Atlanta's at Washington. No John Wall. Washington still leads the series 2-1. Memphis at home with Golden State tonight at FedEx Forum. Memphis up 2-1. Baseball tonight, Pirates and Phillies. Garrett Cole for the Pirates, Jerome Williams for the Phils. Red Sox at Oakland, Atlanta at Cincinnati. Yankees at Tampa Bay. Mets and Cubs at Wrigley tonight. Chris Bryant, by the way, has driven in 17 runs so far. He's actually second on the team in that department so far. Done well. And Miami will be at the Dodgers. Washington is at Arizona. Bryce Harper on a roll with 6 home runs. And in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight, Tampa Bay at home tonight with Montreal. And the Canadiens have won the last 2 games convincingly. And Tampa Bay leads the series 3-2. So there you go. You're up to date on what is going on.
You missed one thing.
Two NBA games. What, 5-6 baseball games, Stanley Cup game, and Premier League.
And practice is underway at Indy.
This is a scoreboard. This isn't...
Oh, I thought you were doing what was coming up tonight. You were talking about the games that were on the way tonight.
It's a scoreboard.
Well, I could give you the scoreboard on speeds at Indy if you'd like. Yeah, I didn't think I'd hear anything on that.
Go ahead. We got 60 seconds to waste.
Well, it's still early yet, but right now...
Just give us numbers.
Right now, the leaderboard sitting at 224 with Carlos Munoz in the lead.
Rashid Suleiman, by the way, transferring from Duke. Well, he was off the team at Duke. He's going to go to Maryland. That's a big get for Mark Turgeon. Penn State will play them once in the upcoming season. That game is going to be at Comcast, or the Xfinity Center, I should say, in College Park. They will not come to Penn State this year. But Rashid Suleiman has transferred to Maryland. That is a little more impactful than some guy running practice before empty stands.
Sorry, I'm watching Ed Carpenter.
Go ahead. Tell him what your guy Sage Karam did.
Sage Karam with the second fastest speed at 224.174.
Does it bother you that a 14-year-old's running in those speeds?
He's not 14!
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com. CBS.
Oh, there are people in the stands.